called Better Choices Equals Better You.
I want to tell you, honestly, I'm going to do the sermon today, but I've been feeling a little convicted recently because this past week I spent a lot of time speaking with some friends of mine and other pastors. And do you realize how close we are and the fulfillment of Scripture that's happening right before our eyes right now? It's amazing. If you know revelatory Scripture, meaning Revelations and Exodus and Daniel and Matthew and all of these other books that where Jesus pours in and the Scripture tells us about the end times, you know there's some things, some amazing things that are going on before our eyes right now. You know, for all my life, I remember, I think I've shared this before, but when I was first saved, when I was 16 years old, there was this older lady that would stand up and she would say, "Sonny, we're in the end times." And I'm like, "I bet we are for you." I'm kidding. I would never say that. But she was a very funny lady, and so she would say those things. Actually, she was the one that said that to me. She'd go, "Sonny, we're in the end times. I'm not just meaning my age too." That's what she'd say to me. And here we are, you know, 40 years later, 30 some years later, and we're still here. But as I look at this, and I'm bringing this up because we're going to talk about temptations today, okay? We're going to talk about the temptations of God and how do we overcome the temptations to sin? How do we overcome all of those things? But part of me, as I was putting this sermon together, part of me, I'm thinking to myself, if you understand, you know, the Scripture talks about a million-man army coming from the east to invade Israel. If you know that Scripture, it's very common Scripture. That's never been possible until this week. Until this past week. This past week, Iran and China entered into a covenant together, a agreement together that they will support each other militarily. The only person has the only country in the world that has the capabilities of having a million-man army was China. And so until China and Iran formed this agreement, this was never possible. It's now possible. Scripture also talks about the Euphrates River drying up. I don't know if anyone's been paying attention. But if you ever look and you go and you start paying attention to what's going on, the Euphrates River is unexplainably drying up. It's at its lowest level it's ever been. And it is slowly becoming completely dry. Scripture says that when the Euphrates River completely dries up, then the army will march across the Euphrates River and attack Israel. There's also, Scripture talks about the Israel, the chosen people, the country of Israel being surrounded on all sides, but also from the south will up come a force attacking them. It wasn't until 2 weeks ago that was also possible. Do you know the country that's leading the charge against Israel today in terms of the genocide? They're saying that Israel's committing genocide in Hamas and in Palestine. But the country that's leading that right now is South Africa, of all places. But South Africa and the countries surrounding Israel are combining forces to come against them. I have to tell you that we are in some interesting times. And we better be prepared. And I'm saying all of this, because I want you to understand that I'm going to preach on temptations here in a moment, but temptations are very, I almost feel like to some element, I feel like, oh, this is nothing. You know, why are we talking about temptations when the world is ending, right? Honestly, we got to think about this for a moment. As Christians, we have to understand that we are entering into a time when these temptations, these little things that are bothering us, temptations about, oh, should I eat chocolate or not eat chocolate, right? Or should I have the temptation? Should I open up my eyes and should I fall to the temptation of lust or should I walk away from it? These are small things compared to what's going on in the world today. And it's time that we as Christians need to wake up and realize the area that we're in and the time that we're in, because we are in a time like never before. Now, I'm not just like another 80-year-old woman who told a 16-year-old boy when he was saved that we are in the end times. I'm not that. I'm telling you that we are in a time that's very important for us to understand. A time when the world is coming to a close and we have to be prepared. Do you know that there's people in your life today that are waiting for you to share scripture with them? Waiting for you to talk about God and who He is. Does that mean we walk away from our life completely? No, we don't. We still have to live our life here today. But we better get serious about our faith because we are coming to a time, and there'll be a sermon coming soon. Don't worry about that. There's something coming very soon, and I'm going to talk about these things. But I just want to let you know that when we talk about these things, when we talk about temptations, we talk about choices, we talk about all of these things, I'm doing this so that we can be prepared for what is coming down the line, because the choices that we make today are going to prepare our hearts for what is about to come to this earth today. Last week we talked about choices and how we make right choices and those types of things, and today we're going to talk about temptations, and temptations are interesting. Because we all have temptations, whether they be food, whether they be power, whether they be money, whether they be lust, whether they be pornography, we all have temptations in our life. Every single one of us in this room are faced with temptations. You know, Jesus also was faced with temptations. And it's an amazing story. In fact, we're going to read that. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. But before we get there, as you're opening up your Bibles to get there, let's understand what the English dictionary describes temptations as, is the desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. Thanks, Webster. That does a great job for describing what temptations are. The truth, though, is that the world is full of temptations. Do you know, as a marketer of children's products, we were not allowed to have commercials on TV that would be marketed directly towards children. Now, I want to let you know that that was the rule. That's the legal rule, and it's still the legal rule today. But I guarantee you, if you go ask all of the children in Children's Church to remind them of a commercial or something they saw on TV or something they saw online, they'll be able to repeat a commercial they saw about a toy. Why? Because we know that temptations, marketers, businesses know that temptations are a strong driving force in the purchasing power. Why do you think cigarettes and alcohol and all of these things were marketed with half-clad women and cars and all of these things for many, many years? Why did they do that? Because they're trying to draw in the clientele. They're trying to draw in. They're trying to tempt you by saying, "Oh, if you smoke Marlboros, you'll be like the Marlboro Man, right? You remember the Marlboro Man? Everyone remember that?" And so, or if you drink this kind of alcohol, or you drink this kind of beer, or you drink this kind of whatever it is, then you're going to be like that. The temptations were all around. And I'm not just, listen, when we talk about temptations, understand, I'm not just talking about cigarettes and beer and alcohol. There's many temptations. We all face temptations in this place today. M&Ms are a temptation for me. I've said that before. But they are temptations. There's temptations all around us. But it's not just simply food. Sometimes it's the temptation to be more powerful than what we are. The temptation to be to gossip. The temptation to tell someone that, or to make yourself more powerful or more in authority over the person around you. Temptations are all around us today. But the good news is that temptations can be overcome. Temptations can be beaten. But it takes effort and work on our parts. But when we make the choice to overcome these temptations, we are making a better choice to live a life more like Christ. So if you have your Bibles, turn again with me to Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. We'll begin there. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. I bet. You don't eat for 40 days, I bet you'll be hungry too. Mine's 4 hours, so when I can't even think 40 days, right? My goodness. The devil said to them, If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil took him. Before we go any further, look how Jesus answers this. Satan comes to him and says, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread. And then verse 4, he says, and Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Do you know what? Jesus just called himself a man. If you ever wondered if Jesus was not fully man, yet also fully God, right? There's another verse for you. Chalk it up in there. Put it in the back of your mind there, that Jesus was also fully man as much as he was fully. Why is that important? It's important because men and women are tempted. Human beings are tempted. Jesus was tempted because he was fully man. And so he feels all the time. You think you had temptations? Jesus had them too. And he overcame those. Side note. And Jesus answered him, it is written, by man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Let's pause and pray, and then we'll continue. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us eyes that can be opened, ears that can hear, senses that can sense and feel. And as we battle not only temptations, Father, but as we battle the coming times that we are living in today, may our eyes be open to see you. And may we make these choices to follow you and to be close to you and to walk with you, Father. Lord Jesus, I believe we are truly in some unique times. The days are short, Father, and getting shorter with every passing moment. May we overcome the temptations that the devil has persuaded us and delayed our following you and worshiping you, Father, with. Help us to designate and ascribe our worship to you, Father, and you alone. Lord, we ask you that you just bless us and help us to have open ears and open eyes and open minds to overcome these temptations and to live with you and to walk with you in everything that we do and say. Lord, I pray that my words would not be my own words, and that you would just, again, open up all of the senses that you have given us with it, so that we can understand. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you continue to bless us, continue to walk with us, continue to reveal to us what you'd want us to learn from these scriptures, and to walk in your ways, Holy Spirit. Let us achieve what you have called us to do, the will of God, Father, and help us to walk in it every day. In every moment. Lord, let my words not be my own, but let them truly be your words. We pray and we thank you and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple things we have to understand here about these verses. This is a wonderful story. I don't know if Jesus would call it wonderful. He's being tempted, but it's a wonderful learning opportunity for us to learn, because what we see here is that there's a few things that happened. Jesus was being tempted. Now here's a question I want to ask you. If you're in an army, if you're in a war with something, and you're, let's say, not the best soldier ever, does the enemy worry about you? Yeah. No. If you're on a football team and you know that you're playing football, who do you, in sports, coaches would put together plans to battle the most and the most talented person on that team. Why? Because they know that if they can take out the talented person, the rest of the team is not really that concerning. So the very first thing that we learn here is that are you worthy of being tempted? I ask this question because this is very important. If you're not following God, if you're not walking with God, if you're not making decisions to follow God, guess what? You're most likely not going to be attacked. You're most likely not going to be tempted as much as those that are following God. Why? Because you're not a concern to the devil. The devil's only concerned with tearing down those that are following God. Why? Because if he knows that if he can tear down those that are following God, the rest of them will just blindly follow the sheep across the ledge. And so if you're worthy of being tempted, then you have to understand that you are going to be tempted. Jesus was worthy to be tempted. Why? Because Satan was trying to derail the plans that Jesus had. Satan, listen, I don't know if you know this, but Satan knows scripture better than any one of you in this room right now. You know that? That's a scary thought for a moment, but he knows scripture better than any of us, I'll include myself in it. Satan knows scripture. Why? Because he's been there. He was there when scripture was written. He was there at the beginning of time. He has heard it over and over and over again. In fact, he was the chief worshiper in heaven before he was cast down on this earth. And so he worshiped God, probably using scripture to do many of that worship. And so when he comes down to this earth, what does he do? The very first thing he does with Adam and Eve, he uses scripture, but he twists it. What does he do with Jesus? He does the same exact thing. He uses scripture, but he twists it. He's trying to change the meaning of it. We have to understand, my first challenge to you is to understand that if you're not being tempted, you better ask where your life is with Christ. Because the certain, and by the way, if you are following Christ, then you should just know that temptations are going to come. If you're following Christ, then it's going to be, listen, if you're trying to lose weight, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be a sale on M&Ms at the store.
Right.
I speak the truth. I kid you not. I made a commitment at the beginning of the year that I was going to cut down on what I eat and sugars and all of those things. And I walk into the store and guess what's on sale? Red and green M&Ms, my favorite. They were $1 a bag. Let me tell you, normally like $5 a bag, they're now $1 a bag. I had the temptation to just take my, like, with a cart. As soon as you make a decision to follow God, as soon as you make a decision to do so, temptations are going to come. That's natural. That's what happens. The devil's going to attack you, especially when you make a commitment to God. One of the things that we have to understand is that, first of all, when you first become a Christian, we have to warn new believers that temptations are going to come. The temptation to continue living your life the way that you may have always lived your life is going to be there. Temptation to fall is going to be there. If you're not being attacked or tempted, though, you better check to see if you're a risk to the devil. That's a serious question. But Jesus was worthy of being tempted. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. He's the one that's coming here. We have to be careful, because if we're not careful, our temptations will become our everyday actions. Do you know what happens more often than not is that our temptations, those things that first tempted you, you fall to those temptations, and then the next day, guess what happens? You wake up and those temptations become a daily habit or a daily routine. Then they become a habit, and before you know it, you're down the path, and what was originally a temptation is now just a habit. It's something that you do every single day. We have to be careful that our temptations do not carry us away and become our everyday actions. We also need to understand that temptations often come when we are weak. When did the devil come after Jesus? After he had been starving for 40 days. 40 days he's out and he's full of the Spirit. You know what else? The devil doesn't attack Jesus until Jesus is what? He's baptized and he begins his ministry.
That's right.
You know what? The devil didn't attack Jesus before. He didn't attack Jesus because why? Jesus hadn't committed to doing the plan that God had given. Jesus wasn't to that place. His ministry had not yet started. And so for the devil to attack Jesus before that, there was no reason for it. It wasn't until Jesus was baptized in the river, the Holy Spirit falls upon him. He goes into the desert. He prays for 40 days. His ministry is just beginning. And guess what happens? The devil is there. Knocking on the door because guess what? Jesus was starting his ministry, and so the devil's attacking him. But then we often find the devil comes after Jesus when he's hungry. He's been out in the desert for 40 days. Temptations often come when we are the weakest. Do you know that fatigue we talked about, decision fatigue we talked about last week? That happens in temptations too. The fatigue, when you're tired and you're worn out, you make this commitment, I'm not going to yell at my kids anymore, right? And then guess what happens? You come home from work and your kids are like, ah, daddy, I want this, I want that. Stupid kids, what are you doing? No, you don't ever tell your kids stupid, right? But we yell, we do that. I laugh because... I hope Becky and Paul, you guys don't mind. But I love today, this morning when you guys, there's such a beautiful picture that happens in the morning when we're setting up for church on Sunday morning. You know, Becky and Paul and the kids are here and little Levi and Lena, thank you. It's not Ellie, it's Lena, right? So they're sitting next to each other and they're touching each other. Lena's like, stop touching me! And Levi's like, you're in my space! You're in my space! And I'm sitting here thinking, that is so funny. And Becky and Paul, bless their hearts, are just sitting there doing their business. And they're hearing, everyone's hearing this because they're having this. And then finally, Paul's like, Levi, set up. And then Becky's like, Lena, stop it. Leave your brother alone. It's interesting though, because at that moment in time, you could have just went a totally different route, right? Could have lost it all. What happens is our kids get on our nerves and we're so fatigued, we're so at that last moment, we're at that last rope, and what do? We lose the authority we have with our kids because we react out of the temptation and the anger with them versus loving them and correcting them out of love. That's not just true with children, by the way. How about your husbands? Ladies? Yeah. Corey, you and I will have a conversation later, okay? All right. How about husbands? How about friends? How about neighbors? How about bosses? Co-workers? The temptation there is that when we make a point, when we make a decision, I'm not going to do this, the temptation falls upon us, and what do? We are so angry, you're so bad. I remember when I was 16 years old, I worked at Edinburgh Corner Store. It used to be called Four Sons. And there was a whole group of people there, and all kinds of different types of people from different styles of life and positions in life. And, well, let's just say their language was a little bit salty. And I remember, I was shocked because here I am. My mother and father were very careful not to use language at home. And so this is the first time I heard a lot of these language and these things. And I'm like, oh, wow, never heard that. And then I remember one day that I was out and I was with my mom and my sisters were getting on my nerves and they're doing all of this stuff. And out comes a word that I would only have heard at that store. I would never have heard it at home. And my mother turns around and she's like, I said, I made a commitment that I wasn't going to say those things, but it just happened. It was the right time to say that word. Temptations come at our weakest moments. When we make a decision to do something, fatigue and the attacks of Satan are going to come. But what do you do with it? How do you stay away from that? Just understand that when you're weak, these temptations are going to come. Temptations are always trying to steal your power. You understand that? Satan is trying to steal your power. He wants nothing. Listen, does he care whether you fall to that temptation? Does he care what you look at on the computer? No, he doesn't care. What he cares most about is the power and the authority that you're granting to him by falling to that. Because he knows that if you sin and you fall to that temptation, you're no longer walking in the authority and the power of God. You're walking under the authority and power of that temptation. And what you have done is transferred the power of God that you had inside of you into that temptation or into Satan himself. He doesn't care about those things. He just wants the power. Isn't that exactly what he said with Jesus, right? What's he doing with Jesus? And he said to him, to you I will give all authority, all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. Who owns all the authority? Yeah, it's not Satan. Satan doesn't own this. Yes, he's the prince of this air. He's the prince of the, that's what the scripture calls Satan, the prince of this air, the prince of this peace, the prince of this world right now. Not prince of peace, I'm sorry. Prince of the air in this place. Satan does own this, but what is he trying to do? He's trying to get Jesus to worship him, to give the power that Jesus has to him for a short period of temptation and a short period of time where he could be giving all authority. He says in verse 7, if you then will worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus was the Son of God. He was God himself on this earth. What did he have that Satan didn't? Or what did Satan have that Jesus didn't have? Jesus didn't have to give Satan anything. He was already the king. He was already the Jesus is the Son of God. He's the prince of the world. He is the ruler of everything. He has created all this. Satan owns nothing. The reason why he was tempting Jesus was to get all of this power from him. Satan was trying to steal the power from Jesus. In all circumstances, temptations are trying to take power from you and place it in a different area, usually under the temptation or under Satan himself. Number 4, there's nothing that you need to prove. Do you understand that? Now, when I say this, oftentimes temptations come because I want to look the coolest, right? I got to have this. Got to have the best car. I gotta have the most money. I gotta have the best house. I gotta have the best pool. I have to have the best four-wheeler. I have to have the best, whatever it is. Why? Because you're trying to prove something. What you're trying to do is prove who you are to everyone else around you. Temptations are generally what temptations are doing is that Satan is trying to tempt you to make you prove your worthiness to him. You don't need any of that stuff. Why do you need to prove yourself to anyone else? Temptations come to those who are trying to prove themselves because they don't know that they are secured in Christ. Our value does not come in anything that we have, anything that we do, or anything that we say. Our value comes in our worship to God. And when Satan comes and he tempts you, what he's trying to do is get you to prove all of that wrong. But you have nothing to prove. My father used to have a statement all the time. He would say, if you feel froggy, jump. That's what he used to say to me. And it used to come in a time when I was feeling a little rambunctious, like I could take my father, right? You know, wrestling or whatever. And he would say, oh, you feel froggy? Go ahead and jump, right? He was telling me to prove it, right? He would often go, the next step was, if you feel froggy, jump. And then if not, prove it. He's baiting me. You know, getting me to come and do those things. I knew deep down inside that I had absolutely no chance. But in my mind, the temptation was running. I think I can do it. Wrong. I was often wrong. See, God already has us. God already owns us. God created us. We have nothing to prove to Satan. This is the most, I want you to understand that this has much more to do than just temptations. If you're here today, you have nothing to prove. You have nothing to prove to the people around you. If there's people telling you that you're not good enough and you need to prove it, prove how good you are. You know what? I don't need to prove it to you. I'm a child of God. Do you know what that means? I'm royal, I'm chosen, I'm selected. God chose me to be who I am. I don't have to prove anything to you. You don't deserve squat from me. Get away from me. I already know who I am. I already walk in my authority. I walk in the authority of God. And so when those temptations come against you, trying to make you feel bigger and better, you can put them in your place and say, I don't need any of that stuff because I have God. I have Jesus to walk with me. That's more important than anything else. So how do we overcome temptations in our life? That's the big question, right? That's the question we have to answer. Number one is be prepared with guardrails. We talked about a little bit of this last week, but Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, the spirit of God never wants you to fall to temptation. When we fall to a temptation, guess what it is? It's our flesh. It's our weakness that's inside of us. But the Spirit of God is willing. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. How do we watch and pray? We start to prepare ourselves with guardrails. I talked about guardrails last week, but literally putting guardrails on the side of the road. So what happens if guardrails are on the side of the road so the car doesn't fall off and go down the side of the cliff, right? That's exactly what we should do with our lives. If you know you have a temptation to pornography, guess what? Put up a guardrail. Don't go there. Use software. There's many good software systems out there that will lock your computer completely down so that you can't get there. If you know you have a temptation with eating, guess what? Put up a guardrail. If you know you have a temptation with gossip, don't go there. Put up a guardrail. Stop. If you know you have a temptation, then why don't we prepare? We need to put up the guardrails. Start installing guardrails in your life. I have some good friends in my life that use me as a guardrail, and I'm fine with that. I tell them all the time, when you start to be tempted, call me up right now. I don't care what time of day it is. I don't care what time of night it is. Call me. I do care what time of night it is, because if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm probably not going to answer the phone. Just saying. You better call me twice. Because the first time, I'll sleep through it. But the truth of the matter is that if we have those guardrails in place, it helps us keep ourselves on the path that we're supposed to be. Stay on the path. That's what guardrails are meant to be. Number two, move the line. You know, come on, Pastor Chaz, you cross this line, you and I are at it. Right there's that line. Go ahead. Cross it. I dare you. Come on. Bonnie's the ultimate. She's the devil on the side. Do it, Chaz. Do it. Do it. Cross the line. Cross it. Go ahead. Let's see what he does. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Let me pause there for a moment. No temptation has overcome you that is not common to man. Guess what that means? That means the temptations you're feeling is also a temptation that someone else is feeling. You're not special. Sorry. You're lovely people, and I love you, and I want to be friends, and I want to spend my life with you, but guess what? You're not special. The temptations you're feeling isn't something that someone else hasn't already felt, isn't already also feeling at the same time. But Scripture goes on. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with a temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Amen. Do you see that? You see what Scripture, what Paul is beautifully painting this picture. First of all, he's saying you're not special. You're facing temptations that everyone else faces. Guess what? Jesus was hungry. Jesus had temptations. Jesus didn't want to die on the cross. He cried tears of blood in the garden because he didn't want to go through. May this cup pass from me, he says. Nevertheless, if it's your will, let your will be done. Jesus was tempted like us, but guess what? What do we do? We often draw that line in the sand and then we see how close we can get to it. I had friends that were like, they would say, you know what, I won't do this, but I'll get up to this point. And they slowly sneak up to that point. And then before you know it, guess what's happening? You're blowing through that line and you're way past it. If you're tempted, know where to draw the line. And guess what? Don't draw the line right at the edge of sinning or being tempted. Draw the line way up front. Way somewhere. Move the line. Move the line way out so you're not falling to that temptation. But understand that God is faithful and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Now, I want to make sure that I say this. There's also a verse that says that God will not give you more than you can handle. Anyone know that verse? There's a lot of people shaking their head. Yes, you know what? That's not a verse in Scripture. There is no verse that says God will not give you more than you can handle. What Scripture says is that God will never abandon you in those times. It's good for you to get to the edge of your rope. It's good for you to get to places and go, I can't handle this. Why? Because when you get to the bottom of the barrel, guess what? There's only one place to look up, and that's seeing God. God never promises us that He won't tempt us. Let me rephrase it. God never promises us that we won't go through a lot of trouble in our life. He just promises that He'll be with us. He does promise us that no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. He does promise us that God is faithful and that He will not let us be tempted beyond our ability. Does that mean that we'll not be tempted? No. What's that verse say? You will not be tempted beyond your ability. And God will give you a way out. I've told people before, if you have a problem, get rid of the problem. If you have a problem with pornography, get rid of your computer. Throw it out. It's better to lose a few $100 or a few $1,000s in a computer than to lose your life to a temptation. It's better to lose, if the temptation is your phone, set it down. If your temptation is that when you're around someone else, that person always gossip, guess what? Change friends. If you're around a friend that causes you to fall into temptation, guess what? It's time to get new friends. If your friends don't support you in your battle against these temptations, then it's time to move the line. And sometimes moving line means that I have to lose people out of my life too. And it's okay to do that if you're going to win the battle. Number three, measure the cost. Is the minutes of pleasure worth a lifetime of integrity? Think about that for a moment. I had a friend who was married. He'd been married at the time about 10 years. And he started having a attraction, let's just say, to another woman that he wasn't married to. And I remember him coming to me and he said, "Jason, listen, this is the issue I have." And he's sharing it with me. So I said to him, I used a statement. Is the minutes of pleasure that you might have worth the loss of integrity in the marriage and the life that you have right now? This young man, unfortunately, fell. Well, I was young back then, too. I was young at one point. He fell to that temptation. Almost ruined his life. You know what? He lost his job. He lost his wife. He lost a lot of friends. All because he made a wrong choice. 6 years later, 6 years of counseling, he and his wife began to reconcile their differences, and today they're still married. They've been married for as long as a few years less than my wife and I have been married. They have three wonderful children together. But not because of him. Because of her forgiveness and the grace that God gave to her to live through that. But he's made the choice now that those minutes of pleasure was not worth a lifetime of integrity. Are the minutes of pleasure that you will get from that temptation worth it? I can tell you, no, it's not. Not at all. Number four, pre-plan your escape. I used to laugh because my wife, I love my wife, but she is not a, let's see, how can I say this in the right way? Because I don't want anyone running back and telling her I said this, but she's not necessarily an outgoing person like I am. I can go to a rest stop on the side of a highway and begin to have a conversation and build a lifetime friendship. I've done this before, by the way. I have a lifelong friend who's been my friend since I met him when I was 16 years old on the side of a rest stop in the middle of Virginia on a trip I was taking at that one time. It's just who I am. I don't have those problems. She does not. And so when we get in the car to go to someone's house, she doesn't do this anymore, but she used to go, "Okay, what are all the things I can talk about?" And she would catalog in her mind all of these things. She was pre-planning the discussion that she was going to have when she arrived to houses so that she could have something to talk about. Because that's how she was. And I'm like, "You just talk. Just ask them about how their life is going. Ask them about how their kids are going." She's like, "That's not how I work, Jason. You don't understand." And I'm like, and so we understood this. And so she would pre-plan her discussions before she got there. What's more important is, what's your plan of escape when a temptation comes? What are you going to do? Temptations are going to come to you. They are going to come. If you're following God and you're living your life for Him and you're doing the things that you're supposed to do, the devil's going to attack you. That's a given. We cannot get away from that. The devil's going to attack you. So what are you going to do when the devil attacks you? What's your plan of escape? What's your plan? Have you thought that? See, no one plans to mess up, but few plan not to. Mess ups are going to happen. You're going to fail at some point. And few people pre-plan in their mind to say, this is how I'm getting out of this situation. I could share, I loved, you could go back, there's many different stories, but the one that thinks about me is, the one that I think about is Joseph and the Potiphar's wife, right? He pre-planned his escape. Do you know what happened? At the very last stage, she's giving herself to Joseph. She wants to lie down with Joseph, led to hear what the Bible is saying, right? And she wants to do all of these things, and so she wants to have this relationship with Joseph. And at the very last moment, she comes to Joseph and wants to do this. And Joseph runs, and as he runs away, she grabs a hold of his coat. And Joseph leaves the coat and runs out. Why? Because his integrity and he had pre-planned in his mind, this is how I'm getting out of this situation. It's better to lose a coat than your integrity, right? What are you going to do when the ultimatum, when Archimedes runs wild on you? I'm kidding. What are you going to do when, sorry, my ADD, Jay. What are you going to do when temptation comes on you? What are you going to do? How are you going to respond to that? How are you going to act? What is your plan right now? Listen, most of us don't have, we don't have a plan for what we're doing the rest of the day, let alone how we're going to get out of temptation. But we should. What's your plan? Who are you going to call? What scripture are you going to read? Not Ghostbusters either, by the way. I don't know if someone said that. But oh, man, we're all over the place today, let me tell you. The truth of the matter is that, I should have pre-planned this a little bit better before I said this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Do you know that the average woman spends 17 minutes a day on what they should wear? 17 minutes a day. Craig Grossell, Corey and I love this pastor. He's pastor of Life Church. He has this podcast, and he was talking about this. But, 17 minutes a day is the average amount you spend on getting dressed. You know what that works out to be? That equals out to four total days, four 24 hours a day, or a year, I'm sorry. So you've just wasted 4 days. Don't tell me that I'm wasting playing a game or watching a football game. You just spent 4 days trying to figure out what you're going to wear, okay? I think that's fair enough, right? I can watch football. Never mind. Yeah. It's a good argument for me. How much time, listen, I say that just because, listen, maybe you don't spend that long. Maybe you do. But just think about it. Craig Rochelle says that if you pre-decided what you're going to wear and laid it out, guess how much time you save? 17 minutes. Think about that for a moment. 17 minutes standing in front of the closet. No, I'll look fat in that one. No, that color doesn't work well with my hair. No, I'm sorry, ladies. Because guess what? I do that all the time, too. It's not just ladies. If we're able to spend that much time trying to figure out what we're going to wear, why can't we figure out how we're going to get out of temptations? Just think about it. You have time. The best thing that you can do for your life right now is to pre-plan how you're going to come out of that temptation. What are you going to do when you're tempted? Who are you going to go to? What guardrails are you going to have set up? Who's going to be your bailout? Find it today, because that's important. Finally, temptations won't be overcome based on emotions in the moment. But temptations are overcome by the values that God has placed on your heart. Truth of the matter is that if you're looking to overcome a temptation by emotion, you're going to fall to that temptation. Because at the moment, at any given moment, a temptation can play on your emotions and make it look so sweet and so wonderful and so beautiful. I could have went back to Genesis chapter 2 and 3 and talked about all of what we talked about last week. The falling to the sweetness, the beauty of what that fruit looked like. Adam and Eve fell to that. You could have done all of those things. See, the truth of the matter is that too often we try to make an attack against temptations based on our emotions instead of the values that God placed on our heart. If you know that God has placed values on your heart, then your temptations should all be measured against those values and not the emotions. Because emotions are going to come. You're going to get angry at someone. Your kids are going to run you ragged. There's going to be things on the TV or billboards or the computer that make you look at it and go, But what are you going to do with it? How are you going to walk away from that? Stop making temporary decisions, stop making permanent decisions on temporary emotions and live up to those temptations. Will you stand with me? Will the worship team come, please? Do you know the average person today has no idea that the times that we're living in? They're all concerned about, I don't even want to say it, the silly things that are going on around us today. We're so focused on this person said this or this person said that. I'm going to take this person to jail or I'm going to... When all around us, you know, the statement, going to hell in a handbasket, you've ever heard that before? The statement has actually never been more true than what it is today. If you look around, all of these silly things that people are talking about are just dragging us away from the real things that really matter. Listen, I'm not going to get into conspiracy theories or anything like that, but all I know is that I don't need to talk about conspiracy theories because guess what? They're there. They're real. They're happening right now. And the biggest conspiracy starts with Jesus not being the king of this world. The biggest conspiracy starts with the devil attacking us, trying to get us to argue about all of these little things instead of being focused on what really matters. That's what really matters is who Jesus Christ is. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Through him, we will have everlasting eternity and life in heaven. If you're giving your life to him. The temptations that we talked about are just the devil trying to pull us away from that reality. And when we get so pulled up, and we get so built on these temptations about who's right and who's wrong and who's this and who's that and how much money am I going to make and who, all of these things, none of that matters. The only thing that matters is who Jesus Christ is. And it's about time that we stop falling to the temptations of the devil and start living for the values that God has placed in our hearts. It's time for us as Christians to stand up and be Christians again. So Father, we pray, we thank you for this day. I thank you for just your word and what you give to us. I thank you that you trust us enough to put us in these times that we're in today. We're not here by happen chance. It didn't just happen by accident, but you pre-planned, you pre-decided, you put us here during this time because you've given us the ability to see you, to cling on to you, to overcome all of these things, including the temptations that fall against us in this place. So Father, we ask you, help us today, Lord Jesus, to follow you, to not fall to the temptations of the devil, but to stand up and live for you. May you be glorified in our lives. Father, we pray that today, if today is the day and you've never given your life to Christ before, maybe you're here and you're watching us at home online and you've never said the words, Jesus, come into my life, then may today be that day where you decide today to make that choice, that better choice to follow him. It's as simple as saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I repent. I turn away from you. Come into my heart. Be my king. Be my savior. If you're here today and you fall into temptations over and over and over again, and perhaps maybe you're falling to them even right now, may I say that there's a way out, that there's no temptation. Scripture tells us, 1 Corinthians tells us that there's no temptation that is uncommon to us that wasn't also given to other men. But most importantly, that God has given you a way out of that temptation. And it is him. So just seek him right now and say, Lord, forgive me for falling to this temptation. Help me in this place right now, right here, to stand up to you, stand up with you, for you. Empower me, encourage me to overcome these temptations, to put Satan in his place, to cast him out of my life, and to follow you. Ask for forgiveness. Seek his strength and walk in his ways. And have those values on your heart. And you shall overcome those temptations in your life today. We thank you, Lord. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise you now. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, amen and amen. Let's worship together.
Lord, I come and I confess. Without you, I'd fall apart. His world was my own, but God's is mine. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour. Righteousness, oh God, how I need you. The sin was deep, your grace is more. The grace is found, as clear as you are. The way you are. Lord, I am free. The glory is mine. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. You're my one. Defense, you're my righteousness, oh God, now I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. You're my one defense. You're my righteousness, oh God, how I need
you. You're my one defense. You're my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Is how we need you. Do you know that today you have the power inside of you to overcome any temptation that has been given to you if you follow Jesus Christ? If he's inside of you, you have all that you need to overcome those things. Doesn't matter what you face. Doesn't matter the I know the temptations come strong. And I know they're hard to overcome. I know that because guess what? I suffer from those temptations as well as anyone else in this room. But inside of you, you have the one. He is the one that can overcome all of those things. You have the ability. You have the power. You have the strength. You have everything you need to overcome those things. It's just a matter of making that decision in your mind to overcome those temptations. Do it today. Don't wait. Father, we thank you for this day. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise you. We thank you so much for how wonderful and beautiful you are and how you empower us to make these decisions, how you give us the strength to overcome temptations in our life. Help us, Lord, in this place to do that. Help us, Lord, to see you more than anything else. Help us to see through those attacks of Satan against our life. And let us walk in the strength and the power that you give to us every single day. And we'll be sure to give you glory, honor, and praise because you deserve that and so much more, Lord Jesus. Help us in these times to follow you. We glorify you, we honor you, and we praise you now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. If you still want some prayer, please feel free to come up. Have a great week. We'll see you again next week.